Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map, and today my guest is Kyle Judah, executive director of the Lew Idea Lab for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, or LILY, at Rice University. Kyle is a former entrepreneur with experience in on-campus innovation at both the University of Colorado at Boulder and MIT. He is brand new to his role at Rice, and today we'll discuss what all is on his to-do list and his first impressions of the Houston innovation ecosystem. Kyle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Natalie. Pleasure to be here.
Great. So I know you're kind of relatively new to your role at LILY. So I want to first start with your background in innovation and particularly cultivating innovation on college campuses and really what you're bringing to the role.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm very fresh eyes to Houston. I've maybe spent 48 hours in the city in my whole life before. So it's a great experience to come into seeing something that is thriving, where there's a lot of the foundational infrastructure that has been built, and be in a role and at a place like Rice and at LILY Lab where we can help play a role in writing the future of Rice's entrepreneurial ecosystem and Houston's innovation ecosystem. And it's near and dear to my heart. I mean, I'm a founder by training. So I spent 5 years as a founder of an enterprise software company based outside the Boston area. We raised a couple of rounds of outside venture capital and took it through an exit in 2013. And I didn't have a backup plan after that. I didn't have a next idea. And so was just very lucky to kind of stumble into an opportunity to join MIT at their Trust Center for MIT Entrepreneurship in 2013 as an entrepreneur in residence and program director, really in charge of running some of their capstone programs for students on the campus, their version of AlSpark, which is called Delta V, kind of the campus startup accelerator program over the summer. And then really tasked with finding opportunities to build support and programming for stakeholder groups that were really left out of entrepreneurship for the most part, because I think MIT, like a lot of other traditional universities, entrepreneurship sits kind of siloed and locked in only at the graduate level and only over at the business school. And a place like MIT, where it's 90% engineers and scientists of one flavor or another, undergrad engineers and postdoc researchers, all those people who had brilliant ideas and the amazing ability to kind of bring those ideas into reality, were kind of left out in the cold. And so I spent 3 years really building up that set of programming at MIT before moving on to another role at the university. And it just spoke to me because I made so many mistakes as a founder because I didn't have anybody shining a light on the minefield through which I was about to walk to say, hey, here's a landmine. Don't step on that or don't go down that path. You're going to waste a year of your time and energy. And I just saw what an incredible opportunity it is to have those 4 years at undergrad or 2+ years of a master's program kind of in the safe confines of a university to give it a shot and take your shots on goal and build that muscle memory so that if you can make a venture that can kind of transition from campus to community, you've kind of made enough progress that you've been able to justify raising funding or getting into accelerators and kind of moving to the more community support vector. And I just loved working with these brilliant young founders. That was hands down the best part of it, from all walks of life and all industries, from consumer packaged goods, literally to rocket science. And really felt like that was kind of my calling, was to, you know, I've had my turn in the trenches. Now it's time to help that next generation. And so took that time at MIT and stood up programs and stood up venture funds. And then about 3.5 years ago, I got recruited to come out to CU Boulder in their College of Engineering and Applied Science by the gentleman who was then their dean, Bobby Braun, who was the former CTO of NASA. And he said, I want innovation and entrepreneurship to be a pillar of what my time leading this college is all about. It had never really been a part of the engineering college there before. My role was the first that was explicitly about entrepreneurship and innovation. And it was really about building from zero to one. So launching an entrepreneurship minor, making sure that, you know, the 7,500 engineers and scientists inside that college had as much opportunity as our peers at the business school or the arts and sciences college or all these different pockets of campus that had been engaging in entrepreneurship a little bit more. And obviously a very different sort of campus, very different sort of innovation ecosystem from Boston to Boulder and from MIT to a public research heavy institution of 40,000 plus students. But what I saw in common, and I think what I've seen in common even to the role at Rice, is this generation of students are so fired up about making positive impact in the world and using entrepreneurship as a lever through which they can accomplish that change. It's incredibly inspiring. I mean, when I was 18, 19 years old, I didn't know what to do with myself. Never mind, I want to create the next great big, you know, financial institution that can help all the unbanked or help undocumented immigrants or whatever it might be. And those are the kind of inspiring ideas that I think draw people like me who have been founders to come back and give back. And so the role at Rice is incredibly exciting. I think, you know, being at a place like the Lou Idea Lab for Innovation and Entrepreneurship and kind of the Center for Entrepreneurship for Rice is incredibly exciting, because we get to play this very special role of, you know, catalyzing our entrepreneurial ecosystem on the campus and smashing together these very energized electrons of students from different backgrounds and different interests and different perspectives, kind of like a particle accelerator, and seeing what amazing weird stuff ends up coming out of that. And so we run courses and classes and workshops and trainings, and increasingly are going to just kind of do everything that we can to make sure at every step of the entrepreneur's journey from idea to real world impact, we have support, resources, funding, personalized mentorship that those founders need to help make that journey as easy as possible, but also as supportive as possible, that they know the whole Rice and the whole Houston community is behind them.
So with your background in on these other campuses and now your role at Rice, what is the role that universities play within the greater innovation ecosystem?
So obviously I'm heavily biased, but I think you can't have a thriving innovation and entrepreneurial ecosystem if you don't have a thriving innovation and entrepreneurial ecosystem on the campuses, kind of in the backyard. One of my bosses during my time at MIT, a brilliant woman by the name of Fiona Murray, her whole area of research is around entrepreneurial ecosystems and kind of these five main stakeholder groups of venture capitalists and entrepreneurs, government, academia, and big companies. And you kind of need all five of those groups to be aligned in the same mission and vision and to be firing on all cylinders. Otherwise, you're kind of playing this game with some very clear weak links. And one of the things that I found so exciting about what's going on in Houston right now that quite frankly was incredibly attractive about this opportunity to come and join Lilly and Rice was that y'all have that now, right? You've got these big pillar companies in energy and healthcare and all these critical areas that the world and the economy and society need in Houston already, right? You've got research institutions like Rice and like UH kind of as that pipeline for bleeding edge technologies and bleeding edge talent coming into those kind of companies. You've got this very nascent but growing entrepreneurial ecosystem and venture capital ecosystem. And I think increasingly VCs coming from the traditional hubs on the coast to come and look at the unique stuff coming out of Houston and coming out of Rice. And you've got supportive government, right? You know, you have both the city and state who are willing to put their money where their mouth is and say, we know we need to make the right sort of investments to set Houston's economy up for the next couple of decades. And those might be very different sort of investments than what have traditionally been made. But again, it's everybody pointed in the right direction. You've got all the right raw ingredients. And I think that's when you end up having really special things happening, when you can have organizations like HX and others that are bringing people from all those different kind of stakeholder groups together in the room. There's that kind of, you know, porous membrane of talent and ideas being able to flow from university to community, talent from, you know, universities into big companies and into startups, startups leveraging and licensing and spinning out new technology from the universities and being acquired by those big companies. So it all plays off of one another. And I'm so excited about the future for Rice and for Houston, because we've got what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, you noting on all of the infrastructure that's here in Houston now is really exciting. I know a lot of people within the innovation ecosystem that have been here a lot longer than I have, because Innovation Hub is only just about 2 years old itself. But, you know, everyone's kind of opinion is it's different now, and we have more ingredients now to really make it a viable industry. But and the role of universities, I agree, is so key. But what in your role is, you know, what are the unique challenges to growing innovation on a college campus? I mean, I know Rice has a lot of innovation going on in different areas, from the Rice Business Plan competition to AlloSpark, like you mentioned. You know, there's just no end of opportunities there. But what are the challenges you're facing?
Yeah, that's a great and very tricky question. You know, I think on any campus, there's kind of pockets of activity and programming that are going on. And, you know, the way that Rice maybe worked 30 years ago with respect to technology transfer or business plan competitions or whatever it might be, that's not necessarily how Rice has to be able to operate these days. We are more global than ever. We're more connected than ever, both to what's going on in Houston as well as other innovation ecosystems. And so it's, you know, I think it's always a challenge just making sure that people who have been doing the work, who have laid that kind of level one infrastructure for us to be able to build on now, that we all are playing for the name on the front of the jersey instead of the name on the back. And I think that's one of the exciting things that I've seen. I mean, there's Lilly in terms of what we're doing, and then there's an incredible kind of sister organization in the Rice Alliance with the Rice Business Plan Competition and AlloSpark and the programming that they run. You know, the way I view it is Rice Alliance and their mission is to kind of bring the world to Rice, right? The business plan competition brings 130 some odd startups from all over the country, all over the world, to Houston and into our backyard to show them what we're all about. Mm-hmm. Same with AlloSpark, you know, being kind of stretching open an open hand to University of Houston and Texas A&M Ventures, because we are so close to one another. We do have that expertise in-house, and we can offer a better experience. I think what Lilly's about is bringing Rice startups and ventures to the world. So it's a slightly different facet to that same sort of work, but we're two sides of the same coin. And you know, I think, again, part of the challenge is making sure that not just, you know, business school students, not just engineers and scientists have access to entrepreneurship, but that everybody has access to it, and that the kind of entrepreneurship on our campus and at Lilly can be as diverse as our campus is and as diverse as Houston is, because that's incredibly important, both in terms of, you know, I would love nothing more than for Rice and Lilly to be the destination of choice for female and underrepresented minority founders, because that's certainly not what our peer institutions are doing on the coasts, right? Mm-hmm. I'd love for Rice to be a place that has a little bit more of an open aperture with respect to the kinds of ventures that are fit for our support, where it's not only high-tech startups that can raise oodles of venture capital money and go on that path, because that's a very narrow sliver of startup and entrepreneurship that fits that kind of profile, and that venture capital is the right medicine for. But bootstrap founders, you know, nonprofit founders, that's all entrepreneurship. It just gets called by a different name. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that they all have a place at Rice and at Lilly and in Houston moving forward.
Yeah. I love that comparison of Lilly to and the Rice Alliance, because yeah, it's they all feel so synergistic, but they do have these two different roles. So I will actually probably steal that if anyone, if I'm ever comparing Lily to what Rice Alliance has done. I love to joke about how often I write about Rice. Kind of ridiculous. I think I had like 4 stories about Rice last week alone. It's just, there's all these different moving parts and it's a lot to cover. But I want to talk about Lily and zoom in and your role and what some goals that you have. Like I said, you're kind of new to this role. And so I want to know kind of what your plans are for Lily. And you mentioned inclusivity. So I want to talk more about that too.
Yeah. You know, so my role is as executive director for Lily, which means that we help set the strategy and oversee the execution for the creation and running of both programs in and out of the classroom and support structures like mentorship and like equity-free funding that can and should be available for entrepreneurs of all stripes and all backgrounds that are coming through our campus and coming through our programming. It is a very interesting experience to onboard to a new role and a new college and a very much new culture and community when I'm not even in the same time zone yet because of the pandemic. I'm still just outside of Boulder, Colorado. And so, you know, while I think we're predominantly spending this semester speaking with students, speaking with entrepreneurial alums, speaking with our faculty and with members of the community to get a sense of what is the good, bad, and ugly of what's going on with entrepreneurship at Rice and where are there opportunities for us to, you know, double down and pour some jet fuel on the fire of programs that have organically sprung up from students or programs that, you know, Lily's been running for the last 2 or 3 years that we're seeing real promise from. And where are there opportunities to say, you know, maybe the old gods aren't the right one and we should be, you know, not afraid to kill them off so that the new ones can rise up. You know, there are a couple of areas that have already started to kind of show their faces as areas of work that we know we're going to get stuck into. One of which being diversion and diversity and inclusion, because it's I think a critical aspect of American higher education right now and American entrepreneurship right now. I mean the stats on venture capital funding raised by minority founders and by female founders is still atrocious. I mean, we're talking single digit percentages, right? And in the 4th largest city in the country, in one of the most diverse cities in the country, that can't be the way that we play that sort of game. And so, you know, we want to make sure again that diversity of entrepreneurship at Rice speaks to the diversity of the city in our backyard, that, you know, entrepreneurs of all stripes from every walk of life can come to Rice and come to Lily and know that they're going to get a fair shake and a fair shot at following their passion and willing something into existence. And part of our job and part of my job is to find where are those points of friction that these founders feel in this dichotomy between being a student and doing a startup. And our job is to remove those barriers. A lot of times they're financial, right? And so last week we announced a brand new program called the Rice Experiment Fund, which is available to any student across the whole university and allows them to apply for equity-free funding up to $500 per semester so that they can run some early experiments on prototyping their product, on starting to set up a Shopify, implementation and sell their product. Maybe they want to run some Facebook or Google ads to test how to find the right customer audience. They shouldn't feel like that cost, though minimal it might be, is any barrier to them getting started and giving it a shot. And so, you know, they're paying for the privilege to come and attend Rice. The least we can do is be there to support them financially and otherwise before anybody else would. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of some of the mission and vision. We know that there's going to be a lot of work that we want to do around technology transfer and commercialization and getting this amazing generational step function change technology out of our labs and into making impact in the real world. Cause that's what it's about. If we have a Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse of intellectual property that can improve humanity, but isn't seeing the light of day, well, then Rice isn't fulfilling our mission in the world. And so how do we support that unique strain of entrepreneurship where people are living with one foot in the lab and one foot in their startup, and some of the tension and incentives that exist there? I think, you know, one other area is just making sure that, you know, we understand what is the kind of entrepreneurship that Rice can do better than anybody else. What's our competitive advantage? Because if we just plant a flag in the ground and say, we're going to be, you know, a hub for consumer mobile startups and try and copy what the Bay Area or what New York or LA have done. Well, we could do that. We certainly have the resources to do that, but we're starting with the, you know, those other ecosystems having had a 20, 30, 40 year head start. And so we can't just copy and paste what works for the Bay Area or what works for Boston. We have to figure out what is going to be the authentic right sort of centers of excellence for Rice and for Houston, areas like energy, areas like healthcare, areas like space, you know, and it just so happens that those areas that Houston and that Rice have historically done better at than anybody else, those happen to be the most grand challenges for all of humanity for the next 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And so I think we're just trying to figure out right now, what are those lanes that allow us to create something very unique, something very authentic to Rice and to Houston. So we don't have this like bad organ donation rejection situation going on where we try and copy and paste LA's culture or New York's entrepreneurial culture. Never mind that. Let's do Rice and let's do Houston and let's play our own game.
Yeah. It's so interesting to talk about this because, you know, obviously, diversity and inclusion in fostering an environment like that is its own challenge, right? And setting up systems, putting them in place to support that and to, you know, make opportunities available for all, so hard. But also this challenge of kind of finding the next big industry in Houston, you know, that's part of what's so appealing to growing innovation in Houston in general is, you know, Houston can't just be the oil and gas capital, you know, it really has to be join the energy transition and also foster a diversity of industry. So that's so interesting. And you know, I feel like in a lot of ways, and maybe you agree, but, you know, Rice's challenges with growing innovation kind of directly mirror what the greater Houston innovation ecosystem is facing too.
Yeah. Again, you know, I will demur a little bit as my historical knowledge isn't exactly up to snuff, but you know what I can say is, you know, things like material science that Rice has historically been extremely strong in, that's a wonderful area for us because it does cut across so many industry verticals, right? Whether you're talking about you know, more sustainable, you know, packaging for foods to prolong shelf life and make our kind of food supply chain that much more resilient and robust. Whether you're talking about coatings for the outside of the next generation of everything, but especially of vehicles that are going to go to Mars and beyond, that all plays into what Rice has done historically very well. And I think part of our challenge is to figure out not just what we think are those next areas, not just what does the city of Houston think are those next areas, but what do our constituents, what do our students care about? What do they think should be those next areas? Because there has to be that matching of kind of student passion and interest to administrative passion and interest. Otherwise, we're two ships in the night and we're saying, okay, you know, go and be, you know, Rice is now the consumer social mobile app, you know, beacon of hope for the world. And students are like, buddy, we don't care about that. We want to do social impact. We want to do, you know, civic innovation and ventures for improving Houston's, you know, the population of Houston and community of Houston's connection with elected officials or government organizations, whatever it might be. And so we have to find where is that middle ground between what our students want and what the world wants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. And you mentioned your, you know, newness and your fresh eyes on Houston. So I want to press you on that a little bit. I know you're in the city yet, but you have been kind of thrown into this role in this very unprecedented time, of course. But what have you observed about Houston and, you know, having these different kind of backgrounds and different on different campuses and different cities? What was your first impression of Houston's innovation ecosystem?
It's so warm and welcoming. Like, this has been the nicest transition of all time. That's not a knock on Boulder. Boulder has been lovely. But there's just a warmth and a depth of welcoming and bringing you into this world and this community that's been cooking down in Houston that is so special and so unique. And I'm not sure if that's just, you know, like playing on the cliche of Southern hospitality or what, but like, it's very true. If it is just a cliche, it absolutely rings true for me. You know, I think the other thing is that I found everybody here wants Houston to win. It's not just about, I want my own organization to win. We're really playing as a broader collective. And that's incredibly special. You know, I love Boston. Boston will always somewhat be home, but we Northeasterners are not exactly the most warm and fuzzy and welcoming crowd, right? It's very sharp elbows. It's very, this is my turf and my territory. And I've just found people in Houston and on campus so willing to make time to connect and chat and so willing to open doors. And, oh, you know, you're interested in diversity and inclusion, you got to talk with these four or five people. Oh, you're interested in tech transfer, you got to talk with these four or five people. And so, you know, suddenly what went from, you know, a spotty calendar is like now booked up with these great meetings. And that's a fantastic problem to have because it shows how hungry Houston is for the right sort of ingredients to make a very special meal in town. And I think it shows how folks from Houston Exponential or the Canon or any of these different organizations, the ION, so many others, realize how important it is for rice to play a role in the city's future for innovation and entrepreneurship. And it's I mean, really lovely to know that there's a seat at the table for you. And that's incredibly positive and incredibly welcoming.
Yeah, I love that that's your impression because it was totally mine too with an innovation that launched to just be part of this in some way. So it's so encouraging. And I think it is, I'm biased because I'm a lifelong Houstonian, born and raised. When I talk to people about what they love about Houston, it's always the people, you know, it's always, you know, I love the people. Obviously we can't love the weather. It's horrible. The traffic is awful. So it's like, we got to have that one thing that makes Houston great. And I think it's the people. And I also think that because we're a newer innovation ecosystem, we're doing things very smartly and learning from other cities' mistakes. And I think that's driven something you've observed too, is this collaboration over competition. Like, of course there's going to be some competition for business and everything, but I think more importantly we're all actively doing the collaboration thing because we know that's going to help the city in the long run. So it's so interesting to hear your kind of early thoughts on Houston. We'll have to follow up when you actually are here in Houston. time, whatever that may be, to see what you are.
Yeah, I'd love nothing more than that in a future in which we can like get together and do these things for the next round. I'm only, you know, holding my breath, but it's been a really lovely experience as somebody fresh to the South and fresh to Houston to see what the hype is all about and actually see that the hype is underhyped. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the challenge. And that's part of the opportunity that lies ahead of us is to play this game being, you know, how do you put Houston on the map as an entrepreneurial ecosystem in its own right? How do you play this game in a way that everybody's able to win? Mm-hmm. And where it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game, and how we can play this game with the chip on our shoulder and show Boston and the Bay Area and LA and New York and all the places on the coasts, we've got something special here too. And doesn't have to be the same. In fact, if it is the same, we're probably not pushing ourselves enough. But, you know, we've got something here too, and maybe it's time y'all get on a flight and come on down.
Yeah. As soon as it's, you know, safe and everyone is about.
Exactly, yeah.
That's so interesting. Well, I guess kind of to wrap up, and I know it sounds like kind of step one is getting here and really diving in, but where do you really see kind of Lilly and maybe Rice as a whole in the next couple years? What's the kind of the big big picture goals you see for both Lilly and Rice?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And part of the tricky challenge about working in entrepreneurship on a campus is that you have this major time lag, right? You can have a great startup coming out of one of your programs on campus, and we don't know for 5, 8, 10 years later if they can transition to being a successful big pillar company in the Houston ecosystem and community, right? And so we're dealing with a little bit of that lag issue where the sort of stuff we're working on this year, we might not see showing up in the data for another 2 or 3 years' time. But, you know, I think that's part of the interesting challenge is figuring out what is our story and what is our narrative? What does Lilly mean to Rice and what does Lilly mean to Houston and to the world? How can we, you know, carve a new path for entrepreneurship and innovation at Rice? How can we make sure that it is a path that still has the right guiding North Star, which is being in service to our founders and to students? And if something is not in service to them, it's probably not in our wheelhouse and our mission at Lilly. You know, I also think it's about finding the right way to have that connective tissue between what we're doing at Lilly and Rice and the broader ecosystem. People look at a place like Rice and they look at an entrepreneurial ecosystem on a campus. And a lot of times all they see is the pipeline of talent that's just kind of sitting there latent, right? And one of the things that I think we need to do is not only do a fantastic job continuing to help create pipelines for our talent to go into the Chevrons and Schlumbergers of the world, but also for that 5-10 person startup as well that might not have ever had an article written about them, aside from you, obviously. You know, so how do we create equity of access to the talent that's at Rice, whether you're a 5-person startup or whether you're a 500,000 person company? You know, how do we make sure that we can continue to take the expertise that our faculty and staff and researchers have, like Yael Hochberg, and make sure that we're seeding that out into the community. So the bleeding edge research of the best way to, you know, be innovative inside of a large corporation, how to set up a corporate venture capital fund or a corporate accelerator program, how to create the connective tissue between a large corporation and organizations like Mass Challenge or the ION or Greentown Labs when they're setting up shop in town. You know, we've got the experts. Now we have to make sure that their expertise is finding the right audiences out in the world, the same way that we have the talent. We need to find the way for our talent to find their way in the world. And realistically, I think for us, as much as we would love nothing more than for 100, 1,000 startups to be coming off of Rice every single year, the reality is, you know, the vast majority of those startups won't necessarily ever transition from campus to community or from classroom to community. But it's in the skill set that we're having those founders develop during their time on campus and through our workshops at Lilly. It's the entrepreneurial mindset that they're leaving campus with, so that, you know, maybe the lightning strike of inspiration for their startup idea only happens 3 years, 5 years, 10 years after they graduate. But at that time, they know exactly what to do because it's not their first time in the trenches. They've had those reps. They've built that muscle memory while they're a part of campus. And importantly, they know that they can always come on back to Lilly, and we've got resources and support systems there. You know, these incredible alumni entrepreneur roundtables that we've been running at Lilly, so that wherever in their career, wherever in their entrepreneurial journey they are, there's a peer group that exists for them. There's a network that exists for them to begin leveraging, and they don't feel like they have to hunt and gather all these bespoke resources in a vacuum by themselves, because entrepreneurship can be such a lonely journey. We don't want, you know, your feeling of being a part of this tribe of entrepreneurs at Rice and in Houston, that shouldn't end the second you walk across that graduation stage. So we want to support entrepreneurs for their whole lives and create entrepreneurs for their whole lives. And that's a hell of a big challenge, but it's one that we're up to task for.
Yeah, I was going to say, just it's probably not as easy as you're making it sound, but a noble goal. And Houston is very lucky to have this kind of set up at Rice and allow that growth of the individual, like you mentioned, as well as the startups. You know, at the end of the day, it matters who's behind that company, I think. a lot more than what the company is in a lot of cases. So it's very cool to see that those opportunities at Rice.
Totally. And it's great to have, you know, Innovation Map and HX and organizations like y'all, people like you who are out there telling these stories, because if we aren't telling our community and the world what's going on here and what we're all about, then nobody knows what to make of Houston. And so we need people to be loudly banging the drum for what we've got cooking down here, because it should serve as warning to the Bay Area and to Boston and LA and to New York. Good. I want them to play scared because we're coming to eat their lunch.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the things that I think a lot of Houstonians agree with is we're too busy, you know, working hard, and we don't necessarily tell our own story. And so that's definitely something I have as a goal for Innovation Map for sure. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for coming on to this podcast. It's also very meta that, you know, we're telling the story of Rice.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and just so greatly appreciate you and all the work that you're doing.
Thanks for listening to the Houston Innovators Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show, and keep up with all things Houston innovation at innovationmap.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.